Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. On the first part of the program today, we're going to talk about the subject of science. That's going to be the big category, the umbrella category that we're going to be participating in a discussion about. And even more specifically, we're going to be talking about science standards and whether those standards are politically motivated, or whether it is really a reflection of pure science as we see it unfold in our society today. Specifically, I'm talking about the new generation science standards that are being proposed in the educational arena. I wrote this on the blog this morning. I said on the program today, my guest will be Dr. Calvin Beisner, national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. And we will talk about the new generation science standards. Dr. Beisner exposes and refutes the anti-Christian worldview embedded in the next generation science standards being pushed by the nation's public schools, or being pushed on them, I should say, and often in conjunction with Common Core, and jeopardizing our children's ability to understand the world in a manner consistent with the Christian faith. That's what we see taking place. Dr. Beisner has not only written about this subject out on his the blog for the Cornwall Alliance, but he is also, there's a DVD out there of a presentation that he gave as well, and you can get a copy of that DVD out on their website. That website is cornwallalliance.org, www.cornwallalliance.org. Also, Dr. Beisner is going to be right here in the upstate of South Carolina, in fact, right here in Greenville, this Thursday, Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m., there's going to be a special presentation that is taking place as part of the Creation Study Group. It's going to be held down at the Second Presbyterian Church in downtown Greenville. And Dr. Beisner will give a presentation there. And there's going to be a panel, a group of folks that are going to be there as well. Tony Bean will be there moderating the panel. Sherry Few will be there, and Philip Bowers will be there as well as Dr. Beisner in that presentation as well. So it's going to be a very interesting night. Again, that's the Creation Study Group. It's going to be held down at the Second Presbyterian Church in downtown Greenville this Thursday night, August 28th at 7 o'clock p.m. With that, Dr. Beisner, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Well, thank you very much. It's always fun to be on the program with you, and a great opportunity to speak about the next generation science standards. They really are, frankly, a total undermining of science.
Hmm. Tell us exactly what you mean by that, and maybe in that that statement about what you mean by the difference between, you know, real science versus what's being put forth here upon public schools. You might as well, if you would like, just talk a little bit about how the Cornwall Alliance is doing that very thing in so much of the work that you do. They're showing what true science really is, true science which is consistent with the scriptures, and what is what I refer to as a pseudoscience that is taking place today. If you would address those issues.
Yeah, I'll try to do it pretty briefly here. You know, real science, science in terms of a systematic, programmatic way of looking at the earth and manipulating it, controlling it, and so on, real science arose only once in history and in only one place. That was in medieval Europe. And the reason it arose there is that that culture, that civilization, was dominated by the only worldview that could give rise to real science. You know, if you have an atheistic worldview that says that the universe just came about by accident and everything in it is the result of blind chance over time, then you don't expect the universe to be rationally designed. You don't expect it to be comprehensible by rational minds. And you don't expect it to respond in predictable ways. Mm. And so consequently, you would never, with that kind of a worldview, generate a systematic procedure of experiment, of hypothesis, prediction, laboratory experiment or real-world observation, and then the revising of the hypothesis or its at least temporary confirmation. That's what real science is all about. But if you have an atheistic worldview, or if you have a pantheistic worldview in which God is everything, then you don't expect the world to respond in fairly predictable ways either, because it's all personal and it's as free as you are. Likewise, if you are an animist and you think that, you know, rocks and trees and rivers and so on are inhabited by various gods and they will do unpredictable things, you can't generate real science. So it's really only the biblical worldview that says that an infinitely wise God designed, an infinitely powerful God created, and an infinitely and perfectly faithful God sustains a universe that he designed in a rational way to be comprehensible by rational minds like ours, that you can have real science. And the problem with the next generation science standards is that they are explicitly atheistic. They are explicitly materialist in their worldview. There is no room for God to be involved anywhere. The students are clearly taught that Darwinian evolution explains everything around us. Well, what that entails is that you have lost the worldview basis for real science. And frankly, that's what's been happening for the last 50 years and more in American education, and also in education across Europe and Great Britain and Scandinavia, areas that once were strongly dominated by the Christian worldview, and where for centuries the vast majority of scientists were very devout Christians and who pursued their scientific work as a means of learning more about God's creation. Now we have people educated in the sciences who have no room for God in their understanding of how the world works, and that actually, I believe, contributes to the increasing failures in the scientific community to abide by scientific standards of objectivity, of honesty, of openness, of transparency, and it has given rise to an increasing rate of discovering that articles accepted and published in scientific referee journals turn out to have been based on sometimes actual fraud, but very frequently just really sloppy work that hasn't been detected until after it already gets published.
What is really ironic about this is that the scientific community, especially the group that we're talking about there, the radical environmentalists that say that they're within the scientific community, that they purport to be those that are non-biased, that they are just those that are looking at the empirical evidence, that they are neutral in the debate and so forth. And yet, when we look behind what they're saying, we find out it's philosophical at best and another religion at worst, right?
And pretty sloppy philosophy, frankly. I mean, there's a whole movement called post-normal science that has become extremely widespread in the environmentalist movement, especially in terms of the global warming alarmist movement. Many of the top climate scientists in the world, in terms of how they would be evaluated by their peers who are also global warming alarmists, are themselves explicit proponents of postnormal science, which is basically postmodern deconstructionism applied to the sciences. Deconstruction says language doesn't exist in order to convey meaning or truth. It only exists to project power, to get people to do what you want them to do.
Hmm.
Well, you apply that to science and you say science doesn't exist to discover truth about the world. It doesn't exist to, you know, to prepare instruments that actually work. It only exists to project power. And so then you have, for instance, a man named Dr. Mike Hulme, who is a former professor of climate change at the University of East Anglia, center of a lot of the alarmist climate science, who says, hey, in a world dominated by capitalism, climate change, global warming is a handy thing to come along because it becomes a rationale for pursuing our policy agendas for the replacement of capitalism with socialism. So science then becomes really the handmaiden of politics. And then you don't have the objectivity, you don't have the careful, transparent use of data. You have a lot of manipulation of data, exaggeration, suppression of contrary data, and so on, as were shown in the Climategate scandals of 2009 and 2011. Mm. You know, I could go on and on, but obviously time constrains us a bit, but your listeners can come to Facebook's Cornwall Alliance page, or Cornwall Alliance on Facebook, and we are posting about these things all day, every day, and having some pretty fascinating discussions there.
Hmm. You mentioned that ClimateGate scandal. I would say that recently, at least it seems in the the articles that I'm reading, that and the discussion that I'm hearing, that the American people, let me just leave it in just the states here, but the American people have had a glimpse behind the curtain, and they've seen the facade that is going on, and that they've found that the wizard behind all of this is just pulling levers and pulling the wool over their eyes as to what's taking place in the environment. That it's all
no thanks to the mainstream media, of course.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, another great example of that is something that's just been revealed in about the last 4 days. Jennifer Morrow-Hacey, who's been really keeping tabs on the science behind climate change as a movement, just published a major article in which she proved that Australia's official meteorological agency that's supposed to be keeping track of temperatures over time, it fiddled the data to turn what was an almost century-long degree of cooling into a century-long, almost 2 degrees of warming trend, just simply by what they call homogenizing the data. And she showed that there was no good rational basis for how they were doing that. That happens all over the world, and it's a major part of why the claims of global warming driven by carbon dioxide emissions have gotten currency. And as a matter of fact, when you go back to the raw data, you don't show the trends, and you certainly don't show any correlation between CO2 and global temperature. Mm. Get rid of that correlation, and you no longer have any reason for governments to take control of the energy sector and force us to move from abundant, affordable, reliable fossil fuels to diffuse, expensive, and unreliable wind and solar and things like that at the cost of trillions of dollars.
Mm. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Dr. Calvin Beissner. Dr. Beissner is the national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. We're talking with him about the new generation science standards. He's going to be here in town on Thursday night to give a presentation on that subject. It's going to be held on August 28th at 7 o'clock p.m., Second Presbyterian Church in downtown Greenville, as part of the Creation Study Group. And Dr. Beissner will give his presentation to expose the new generation science standards and how they're steeped in evolution to brainwash our children in public schools and their connection to Common Core. And then following his presentation, there's going to be a panel discussion moderated by Dr. Tony Beam, of course, the radio host here in the morning program. And then he's also going to be joined by Sherry Few and Philip Bowers. Sherry Few, people I think in our region know very well that she is a strong proponent against Common Core. And then they may not be as familiar, though, with Philip Bowers, but he's involved. He's a member of the South Carolina Education Oversight Committee. He's going to be on that panel as well. Dr. Breisner, in light of what you just said, and as you mentioned, you know, we could talk for weeks on the program about all of the ways that this radical environmentalism and this warning about climate change, this imminent disastrous, earth-shattering climate change that is supposed to be taking place has been debunked. We could talk a lot about that, but even though that is the case, that all of this empirical evidence is saying otherwise, the leaders of this country are still headlong committed to following after that same course. Why is it? Is it because there's money to be made?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of money to be made. I mean, you've got various different corporations that are into building wind turbines or solar arrays and so on. They have a lot of money to make, and the federal government has invested, rather thrown away, wasted enormous amounts of money subsidizing those things. Also, frankly, the new rule proposed by the EPA back on June 2, actually, I guess it was June 4, to require a 30% reduction in carbon dioxide emissions from existing power plants in the United States by 2030. That new rule is quite interesting because EPA itself admits that there are no health benefits from it and that the amount of warming that would be prevented by the end of the century by that is not even measurable. It's calculable at 0.2 of a degree Celsius, but you can't measure that, and it doesn't have any impact on anything anywhere. What the EPA doesn't mention is that the states that are going to get hit the hardest by very expensive transition from fossil fuel power plants to wind and solar are the states that voted against Obama in 2008 and 2012. The states that are going to have it the easiest are the states that voted for him in those years. So what you really see there is the use of climate-driven policy to punish President Obama's enemies and reward his friends. It has nothing to do with the environment. None of this ever really had anything to do with the environment, and you don't need my word for that. Dr. Otmar Edenhofer, who is a German economist and a co-chairman of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change under the Framework Convention on Climate Change, himself said that that the IPCC and the Framework Convention on Climate Change, these are not about climate. They are about redistributing the world's wealth from the wealthy West to the rest, to the developing countries, on the rationale that the West is putting out all this CO2 and that's causing dangerous global warming, which, of course, it's not. But because of that, the West owes it to the rest of the world to pay the bills.
And not only are the president's political enemies on this issue, which, by the way, he refers to as flat earthers, you know, that you believe in that the earth is still flat, if you disagree with him at all on this issue.
So, ironically, the Flat Earth Society, which does actually exist, does officially embrace global warming.
isn't that ironic? But not only are they going to feel the pain, as you were saying, purposely in this effort, you know, to reward those that stood with the president and punish those that didn't, but even more importantly, the poor are going to feel the brunt of this as well, because it's going to cause energy prices to soar while we're trying to beef up and trying to make solar work and, you know, the other alternative ways that they are prescribing. And just like we've seen with all these other government programs, when they try to do this, it won't be to some time afterwards where they finally realize that this thing was a disaster, like Cash for Clunkers and Solaris and all these other things that they did. where they don't consider, and the poor are going to suffer the most because the energy prices are going to go through the roof, right?
That's right, yeah. And in fact, you know, the poor spend a higher percentage of their income on energy than do the middle class and the rich. In most states, the poor spend upward of 20% of their monthly post-tax income, after-tax income, just on energy. So if you've got, you know, a 10% increase in energy costs for them, you know, they're running up to 22% instead. But the very poorest, those who make under $10,000 a year in after-tax income, they tend to spend closer to 60 and 70% of their income. So if you get a 10% increase in energy prices, and you're already spending 70% of your income on energy, all of a sudden you're spending 77% of your income on energy.
Hmm.
That's why the poorest are the ones who get hurt the worst. And it's really ironic because Obama professes to be a progressive who believes in progressive income taxes, that is, you tax the rich at the higher rate than the poor. No, this is a regressive tax. It taxes the poor at a higher rate than the rich. And it's just simply unconscionable from a biblical perspective. Biblically, all laws should apply to all people equally. That's what the rule of law is all about. That's what impartiality is about. That's justice. But here, what you're seeing is the poor getting hurt the worst. And it's, frankly, to line the pockets of the rich who have a stake in alternative energy.
Hmm. Well, Dr. Beissner, thank you so much for writing this article about this and showing us how, first of all, you exposed it, but showing us then how we can oppose it of what's taking place in our society today, specifically with these new generation science standards that are being put forth. Look forward to your presentation on Thursday. I want to leave just a couple extra minutes on the broadcast here at the end of it, of our interview, just so I can give people that information again about the event coming up this Thursday. But thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about this issue.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and God bless you. I look forward to seeing you Thursday night, I hope. And I've got some additional stuff about these next generation science standards that will be real eye-openers about the poor science involved as well as the unconstitutional religious content of the standards.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much. That was Dr. Cal Beissner that was joining us here. As I mentioned in the top of the broadcast, Dr. Beissner is the national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. Their website is www.cornwallalliance.org. And by the way, they have a brand new website out there, much more easy to navigate and to get to the stories and so forth. I wanted to bring back up this story that I had read a while ago about the science standards, and I was able, right on the homepage of that new website, just to key in the keyword science standards, and it took me right to the public school science standards, political or pure. So you can do the same thing out there on that website. They also have it broken up now into a number of different categories, and so there's various issues or how you can take action. There's a media tag on there. There's also a shop where you can get books and DVDs and so forth on that website as well. Let me give you the information once again about the upcoming event right here in Greenville. This is going to be part of the Creation Study Group, and they meet at the Second Presbyterian Church in downtown Greenville. And again, Dr. Calvin Beissner, the founder and the spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, he'll be there talking, giving a presentation much more in depth than we were able to on the few minutes here on the program today. But he'll give a presentation on the new generation science standards this Thursday night, August 28th, 7 o'clock p.m. And then afterwards, there will be a panel discussion moderated by Dr. Tony Beam. And on that panel, along with Dr. Beissner, will be Sherry Few and Philip Bowers. And so you can get all the information about that event by, let me give you the website for the Creation Study Group. Their website is www.creationstudygroup.org. That's creationstudygroup.org, 7 o'clock this Thursday night. Doors open at 6:30. I think they have a little book table and maybe some refreshments or something there so you can prepare for the presentation and also see some other resources that will be available there as well. With that, we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back from the commercial here in just a few moments. I want to talk about a different issue here in just a few moments when we come back from the broadcast, but you can go out there in order to check out all the information that we talked about just a few moments ago related to this group. This Creation Study Group does a great job, by the way, of putting together some really good presentations, obviously, on the subject of creation and the environment from a biblical perspective. You won't be disappointed when you go, I'm sure.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.